Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. Today's speakers will be John Crook, retired principal of Westside High School and currently with the National Assessment of Educational Progress, and Cherry Larson, director of instructional services at the Plattsmouth Community School District. They'll discuss the topic Common Core, the pros and cons. Both of today's speakers are advocates of the Common Core State Standards Initiative. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, February 19, 2015, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Hugh Cowden, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Today we are going to discuss the Common Core, known officially as the Common Core State Standards Initiative. This is an American education initiative that outlines quantifiable benchmarks in English language arts and mathematics at each grade level from kindergarten through high school. The Common Core standards were developed by a working group assembled by the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers from 2008 to 2009. Since then, a total of 43 states have approved the standards as of last July, while seven states, including Nebraska, have not. The reasons why these seven states have not approved the Common Core standards, as well as why 43 states have approved them, will be discussed by our two panelists. Both of them are educational professionals with long experience both in the classroom and in positions of leadership. The first panelist will be Dr. Cherry Larson, who has been Director of Instructional Services at the Plattsmouth Community School District since 2006. She has taught all subject areas in grades 1 through 8 and at the college level. Dr. Larson has the bachelor's degree in education from the University of Northern Iowa and the master's and PhD in education from the University of South Carolina. She has worked in Africa, Singapore, South Carolina, Iowa, and Nebraska, so she is able to see education issues from multiple perspectives. The second panelist will be Dr. John Crook, retired principal of Westside High School. Dr. Crook received the PhD in education from the University of Nebraska at Lincoln and has been an educator for 37 years. He is a former teacher, assistant principal, and principal at both the junior high and high school levels and is presently working with the National Assessment of Educational Progress, administering student testing for the nation's report card. Dr. Crook will follow Dr. Larson at the podium. After their remarks, they will take questions from the audience. There are pencils and paper on your tables for you to write them, and an education committee member will be around to pick them up and bring them up to me. So with that, please help me welcome our two panelists.
Thank you, Hugh. I had to set the timer because you ask people in my district and I tend to talk a lot, so we'll make sure that I keep focused. I'm presenting just the point of view of a curriculum coordinator. My job is complex, but pretty focused on student learning and teachers and supporting teachers. I'm responsible for making sure that we have a document that guides our teaching and learning, that we base that on state standards, we do professional development around it, and all of the resources that we have available are targeted towards that. I'm also in charge of budgets and making sure that the budgets match that mission and vision as well. So this is one person's perspective, and I'm very lucky because I don't have to pay attention to the politics of it. That's the superintendent's job. I pretty much just have to pay attention to how it meets the needs of children. So today I'm going to talk about what is Common Core just briefly, why it's an issue, and then I'm going to go through some pros and cons that are out there that are fairly common. Students pros and cons related to students, continuity, rigor, which is how hard it is, flexibility, and how it's designed. But the most important thing I want to stress today is why awareness of this issue is so very important. So what is Common Core? Common Core is, are their standards. They're just standards. They say what's going to be taught at each grade level. What's really interesting about them is that they're very progressive. They start at kindergarten and they build up continually all the way up to 12th grade. So the skills develop nicely like that. This isn't the first time we've had those kinds of standards. We've had national, not national standards, we have national organizations that have developed standards. The national standards of for math and teachers of English has standards, science standards. All of those organizations already have standards similar to this. What's different with these standards is that these standards started with a group of people that weren't tied to just one organization. They were started with a group of people that were tied to multiple groups representing parents, teachers, college level, and they were written from the top down, from college level down instead of maybe high school down or elementary up is how some of them have done. So the states who adopt these standards are also asked to take one of two assessments, the PARC assessment and the SBAC assessment. And when you're talking about Common Core, a lot of people forget that the two things are very well blended together. And when people tell me that states have dropped out of the standards, a lot of times my response is, well, why did they drop out? Because they didn't like the standards or they couldn't afford the test. So that's a good question to ask because the tests are very expensive. So let me tell you a little bit about the tests. The tests are related towards very high-level thinking kinds of questions, all right? So it's not just multiple choice only. It's not simplistic answers. They have to make plans. They have to write responses. Sometimes they have to do speeches and tape them. And so because of that, they're expensive to not only write, but the tests are expensive to score. So pretty much the reason we have this whole standard Common Core process is because we had holes in our system. We have an excellent educational focus and structure, I think, in many ways in the United States, but we had holes. People were noticing the holes and the kids that were caught in the middle of it. The students were caught in the middle because we had the education and all of the things that we were giving to them that traditionally had been given or that our constituents wanted to be taught to their to the children. But we also had employer demand. And for years, employers have been telling us it's not working. They're not coming prepared. They don't need to know all of these little isolated facts. What they need to know is how to solve problems, how to collaborate, how to work together. We've known that for a long time, but it's really hard to make a change when the system is so complex. So the students are the ones that are caught in the middle. And again, my job is great because I get to focus on students. So when you look at the students, we have pros and cons. The pros for the students that are commonly stated out there are that the standards will prepare students for a globally competitive economy and environment. And that's not just the standards. It's not the high level, just the high level of the standards. It's the fact that the assessments are high level as well. When the committee put the standards together, they looked all over at the standards across the world, and they made sure that our standards were met up with those kinds of standards. The cons, even having great standards, isn't going to assure us that we are going to be able to compare positively on an international test because we don't teach the same students. We teach all of the students. We don't test the same students. We test all of the students. And I've taught overseas, seen some great international education systems, have high respect for them, but we can't compare who we test and who they test. From the curriculum point of view, I'm trying to focus not just on me, but curriculum coordinators. It's hard to compare educational systems. The world's getting smaller, and so when you have standards that you know are rigorous and hard and that they can meet, they're the same as the standards or similar to standards across the other nations, which I've seen those standards and they are, then that makes you feel more comfortable about making sure your students are prepared. And it's difficult when you're doing it at a state level, every state doing the same thing over and over again, to get input from lots of different organizations and groups. Teachers are pulled out of their classrooms to write standards. They might not have a lot of training in how to write standards. Their viewpoints are very, very important, but it takes a lot of time on the state's part in order to get those. This is important because we have a lot of that already done for us, and we get the experts from colleges and businesses that are brought into it. Now, continuity from a curriculum coordinator's point of view, again, it provides national continuity in education. When I came from South Carolina to teach in Nebraska, it was a totally different system of assessment, totally different standards. Everything was very unique, and that was great. There, I had the privilege of doing an article in Education Week on that. It was wonderful to be part of a unique system, but it did raise some challenges for curriculum coordinators because we have students going to other states all the time and we have to make sure they're prepared. So national continuity, to know that if you move to California and if you move to Arizona with your children, you're going to get the same education, is extremely important. But for curriculum coordinator's point of view, it's important as well, because if I prepare our students to go get jobs in those areas, and Plattsmouth students graduate, they go to college and they get a job someplace else, I want them to be prepared to work anywhere and compete equally with other people. The cons are that in order to write the standards, they said that they had to straddle the middle, in a sense. That's what I hear that a lot, that they've dumbed down the standards just so that they can be common across the United States. And we have to be prepared, aware, and make sure that that doesn't happen. From a curriculum coordinator's point of view, this is wonderful because all of a sudden now, all of the standards from different states are much more aligned. Even in the states that haven't adopted the standards, Nebraska hasn't adopted the standards, but we've rewritten both math and language arts, and now we're rewriting math to align much more specifically with them. So as a curriculum coordinator, I'm pleased to know that our students are going to come out knowing the same things that people in Singapore are supposed to know, the same things that people in California are supposed to know, and the same thing that people in Florida. So our students will be prepared. I don't have to think of the politics of it. So that's really great. It's also good for me as a curriculum point of view because it's less expensive. Instead of spending lots of time writing the curriculum, and working with the state to write the assessments and write the curriculum and write all of that, you've got a set that's a really good starting point to work off of. And when you come back to your district, mainly you're focusing on how to implement it, what does it mean for our students, and things like that. So it saves time and it can save money. And also another issue is the issue of the rigor. The pros for the rigor is it's designed to build on the best standards and support involvement in education. So it's designed to be that way. The cons, even if it's hard, and people have been telling us for a long time, you're not teaching the kids the right thing, you're not making it challenging enough, you're letting the kids get away with just positives, and you're never pushing them to learn, which I go into a school, tell me if that's what you see. You won't see it, but anyway, that's what you hear. So the cons is the government is pushing this, and the government is tying it to money, and so the politics of it are making people not necessarily look as closely as to actually how it's impacting student learning from a curriculum coordinator's point of view. So another good thing about it, with the rigor, certain things are harder, but that means we focus on fewer standards. We just looked at math textbooks the other day, and our teachers came in and they said, you know what, I like that one program the best first because it was more focused. It didn't have as much in it, and it's really good. And then I looked at the other programs, and they're doing the same thing. And I'm saying, yeah, we're not having to teach everything in the kitchen sink right now because we've prioritized a group of experts, prioritized the information, and said, this is how it could be taught, this is how it should be taught, and this is what's important. Now, we still look at it and verify that's accurate at our district and in our classrooms, but we can have an excellent starting point. And it does focus everything. And I can, like I said before, I know when a student graduates, they're going to be ready. Okay, and they're more challenging assessments, more thoughtful assessments. So when the businesses are saying to us, get out there and make sure that students are prepared for the workforce, we've got assessments that you don't teach to the assessment, but you have to keep the assessment in mind when you teach. So if we have high-level questions in the assessment, guess what? Teachers are going to be spending more time on high-level thinking. And again, from a curriculum coordinator's point of view, that's improving student learning. The students need to be able to stand up for an issue and work in groups, and a lot of times they'll use the word argue a point, argue a piece, support things with evidence. So here's what the Common Core does. In kindergarten, they're composing opinion pieces. Now, some people look at that as a con and they say, give me a break. A kindergartner cannot compose an opinion piece. But the indicator level says it has to state an opinion or a preference. That's really, our kindergartners can do that. Do we ask them to do it without this? Not always. We're trying to get them to read and everything else, but you know what? You can easily take, while you're teaching them to read, ask them to state an opinion or state a preference. Get some thinking at an early level. Write opinion pieces. You can see how it goes all the way down into 9th to 12th grade. They're writing arguments, they're supporting claims, and you're analyzing substantive topics, not just should we have a snow day or should we have school off on a certain day of the year, which some of the prompts and stuff are targeted at those more simplistic kinds of things across the nation. I was speaking of a South Carolina prompt right there, but it's not used anymore. But anyway, this is a really nice progression. None of this hurts students. None of this is doing anything but raising standards. Now, here's the cool part about it, though. Remember, my focus is students, and not all of my students are going to go to college. All of my students will be career ready, hopefully. But in our district, we have lots of different ability levels that we're working with. So the standards do provide for a level of flexibility. Also, in Nebraska, we have certain things that we value, just like in South Carolina. There were things that they valued that needed to show up in the standards. So the pros for the Common Core is that they're designed to leave room for tailoring to specific states. If you adopt the Common Core standards and get the money, you must adopt 85% of the standards, but you still have those other percentages that you can play with, all right? The cons, it's really hard to really tailor everything and make it diverse to meet the needs of the state or the interests of the state or the interests of the students and the needs of the students when you're only playing with 15%. So that is a con. So in my position, I have to make sure that when I read through them that I keep our students in mind and I say, does this really meet the needs of our students? And our teachers have done that since Common Core was mentioned. I've brought the standards in, have them look at it. How are we doing? If the state goes to it, how would we compare? Okay. And they're happy with it. So typical standards are not necessarily come out strong the first time. You know, I've been at many states and many districts, and they don't always come out strong the first time. But in this case, we've got strong ones to look at. All we have to do is make sure that they're aligned to the needs of the students. When the states who are either are using the Common Core standards as a guide and they align their standards to them, it improves them. The Nebraska standards have improved ever since I've been here. This is the third rewriting. This is the third kind of standards I've had for language arts since I've been here. And every time they rewrite it, they make them better, easier to implement, easier to guide instruction. So, but part of this last alignment improvement was because of the focus that Common Core gave us. And again, like I said earlier, from a curricular point of view, it gives us a chance to compete on the same playing field as different states. And I forgot to put this up here, also internationally. So the design pros and cons, designed by a diverse group of teachers, experts, parents, and school administrators. It's a very impressive group that put these two together. But from a curriculum point of view, the cons are I have to make sure that they really are good. That if they're good, that they're updated, that they're reflected on consistently. And so we thoroughly went through every single one of them and said, how does it reflect on what we're doing? How does it match with what we're doing? And analyzed it. And I know lots of other curriculum coordinators are doing the same thing just in our metro area. Teachers might not know the word Common Core, but they might hear rigor, making sure our standards are college and career ready. And a lot of times it's the same kind of design piece. So standards, here's a very important point I want to make. Standards guide what we teach. They don't guide how we teach. So they're a good guide for us. But with all the differentiating and all of the issues that you hear about, you're telling people what they have to learn and you're dumbing down in some of the states. You know what? No, they're a guide. They're a minimum standard. You can teach whatever you want. You can make it harder in your schools and your district. There's nothing holding you back on that. There never has been. All right. It sets the standards high. We at the district level figure out how to make it work for our students. We differentiate. Teachers make it work in their classrooms. They see the kids who can't make it and find a way to help them get there. But in my point of view, the bar is consistent. The bar is higher. I am confident where the bar, that there's been a lot of good input into the bar. And so I know that we're heading in a good place and we can differentiate. We can support the kids. We can have before school, after school, opportunity block, which we have. We can bring in tons of different strategies to help them reach those goals. Some of our teachers looked at the writing samples from first grade and about passed out. They said, oh my gosh, our students can never write like that. They can never write like that, Sherry. How can we possibly have them write like this? Well, I can tell you right now, 2 years after they looked at those and 1 year after we adopted a new writing program, the kids are writing very close, not all of them, but a lot of the kids are writing very close to what that example was for Common Core, because now the teachers have a higher level to go for. Not because they didn't care before, but sometimes when you have that higher level, it helps. So here's the last point. It's extremely important that at my job that I'm extremely aware of what's going on, because those cons are very important. I can't ignore those cons. I can't be flippant about them. I have to make sure that I'm very thoughtfully looking at every single one of them and making sure that our students and our teachers are prepared to give the best, do the best job that they can. So because of the awareness, lots of people are looking at higher level standards, higher level assignments, higher level tasks. So a pro, I can go in and search Common Core and I can get wonderful high level strategies and assessment examples and activities designed to meet those standards. And it's exciting for me. It's so easy just to type in, especially Arizona. He was talking about Arizona earlier, but Arizona's got a fabulous website that shares so much. We use all their stuff all the time. So that is really cool. What everybody's aware of it, the whole nation's aware of these standards. Everybody's trying to meet them. So everybody's sharing resources. The cons are the misunderstandings. The misunderstandings, a friend of mine came in one day and she was mad because she saw a high-level mathematical problem that was on pass-through Facebook. And she says, I can't believe when our kids can't add and subtract, we're having them solve these high-level problems. Common Core is doing this. Now, we had a long talk. I absolutely love her. But in my opinion, yeah, of course our kids should do the high-level thinking. That doesn't mean we're not going to teach the basic facts. I hear all the time, we're not teaching handwriting. Well, we are. I hear all the time, you're not teaching basic facts. Well, we are. We weren't necessarily doing it perfectly before. We've tightened up the system, and it's working much better now. But we are teaching it. This stuff that we're supposed to do to make sense, to think abstractly, to model, to use appropriate tools, to be attend to precision, get it right. All of these things are what people have been telling us for years we're not doing and we need to do and other nations are doing. None of this is holding us back from a curriculum coordinator's point of view. So when I see no to Common Core out there, I think people have the right to do that, but I want them to be aware of what they're really saying no to. I want them to be aware that, yes, each child's unique and Common Core could potentially, if we don't do it right, put everybody into a mold and fail out a whole bunch of kids just because they don't meet that mold. But you know what? I've never met an educator that would do that. Now, I'm not saying there's not any of them out there, but I've never met an educator in all my experiences that would throw a kid out because they didn't reach those standards. And that's one thing No Child Left Behind has really done, is making sure everybody's committed to every single child. So there's two sides to every story. Teachers might think it's a solve all the problems because everybody's going to know the same things and if they learn it in first grade, then they'll know it by the time they get to second grade. Yeah, that's what my teachers, I call unicorns and fairies. It's not always going to work, even if we try. Okay, but it is something that leads to change, whether it's what we end up with in the long run. Right now, it's getting people talking. It's getting people thinking. It's getting people looking, moving forward in a good direction, and I think we're going to see long-term benefits for it. So thank you very much for taking the time to become aware of this and pay attention. And I love the fact that I don't have to deal with politics, so I will let John take care of that.
John Crook.
Sherry did a good job of explaining about just what the Common Core standards are and the role that they play in the education of students. I'm going to also visit some pros and cons, and then I'll follow it up with some myths and facts about Common Core. Here's some pros that we'll start with. The Common Core standards, once again, establish what K through 12 students should know in language, arts, and math. That's the only two subject areas that Common Core is at the present time working with. They provide consistent educational standards across the states, as well as ensure that students graduating from high school are prepared to enter college and the workforce. Standards increase the coordination between diverse sets of stakeholders, which aids in school reform. Students can help eliminate achievement gaps. Rigorous new standards require educators to align and improve instruction. Another pro is assessments based on standards evaluate student learning. Accountability. This has been a concern for so many years of our students aren't learning enough, et cetera, et cetera. Standards would help provide state-to-state consistency. It eliminates the inch-deep and mile-wide curriculum. Another position of the people that advocate for the core is a high-quality education is only possible when both rigorous standards and excellent curriculum work together. I would add quality instruction as well. Some of the cons, and Sherry alluded to some of these, the politics, if you will. The biggest concern right now about Common Core in this country is when people perceive it as an attempt by the federal government to take over schools. And this is certainly a big issue down in Arizona. If time allows, I'll share a situation with you that's happening down there. And I know it's prevalent across many states. But you'll hear the conversations like it's a coercion by federal government onto state government. That's one of the issues they talk about. A local control issue, a federal mandate, as I mentioned. And it just kind of comes down to the politics. Maybe briefly I can allude to what happened in Arizona. It's the Commissioner of Education here, and they're elected still, I assume. I live back 6 months in each state. And they also elect, the governor in Arizona, he selects the board members. And there's a lady that ran for the superintendency, of which was elected against Common Core. She promised in her platform that she would eliminate Common Core. And she was elected, and board members continued to work on where they had approved at a statewide level to work on Common Core. And she fired two board members. And I think right away within first month on the job. And the governor got involved and said she couldn't do that. So they, rather than sit down and have a cup of coffee and see what they could iron out, it became a political nightmare in the media. One interviewed and against the other person interviewed, and continues to this day. I go back on Saturday and I'll find out more where that is. But that has been a how not to handle it, it would seem to me. Other things that core critics will say is they believe that accountability provisions of the standard-based reform are unnecessarily punitive. Sherry mentioned this about the cost of textbooks for textbook adoption. It might eliminate the need for some textbooks that the district might have recently bought. And, of course, in-service or staff development is always an expense anytime you take a new initiative. But these critics see high-stake testing as too much of an emphasis on student testing. Some concern lies about telling teachers how to teach. And I think when I get to the myths and the facts, I think that can help comment on that further. Common Core standards do not guarantee, another thing that Sherry mentioned, Common Core standards do not guarantee improvements in testing on the global scale. Another criticism, the Common Core standards cannot be tailored to all the diverse populations of our nation. It does not have an equivalency for students of special needs, for example. Maybe to help clarify this a little bit more would be to talk about the myths and the facts of Common Core standards. The first myth I'll share with you is the following. Adopting Common Core standards means bringing all students down to the lowest common denominator. In other words, states are taking a step backward. The fact to that myth is the standards are designed to build upon the most advanced current thinking about preparing all students for success in college, career, and life. Second myth I'll share, the Common Core standards are not internationally benchmarked. The fact is the standards from top-performing countries played a significant role in the development of the math and language arts standards. And we've heard for years that, like, when the United States compares with other countries, we often don't look as good as we'd like us to look, and it's oftentimes oranges for apple comparison. Common Core would get us closer to an apple-apple comparison by having these international benchmarks where we can be more accurately and consistent in our comparisons. Another myth, the standards only include skills and do not address the importance of content knowledge. Fact, the standards recognize that both content and skills are important. In fact, they are part of the Common Core standards. Another myth, the standards do not prepare or require students to learn algebra in the eighth grade, as many states' current standards do. But the fact is, standards do accommodate and prepare students for Algebra 1 in eighth grade. In addition, they include prerequisites for the courses in grades K through 7, so the students have a better opportunity to demonstrate mastery in algebra in the eighth grade. Another myth, the standards tell teachers what to teach. And we're all concerned about that. We don't want to get into the academic freedom issue and importance of teachers. The fact, teachers know best about what works best in the classroom. That is why these standards established with students need to learn, what students need to learn, but do not dictate how teachers should teach. Instead, schools and teachers will decide how best to help students reach the standards. And Sherry hit that, I thought, quite well and quite hard, as she should. Myth, another myth. The standards will be implemented through No Child Left Behind, signifying that the federal government will be leading them, referring to the standards. In fact, the Common Core standards is a state-led effort that is not part of No Child Left Behind or any other federal initiative. I think when she talked about the misunderstandings, I think that's another big one, is that they think it's the top-down kind of thing. They think that it's the state wasn't involved, and the state, it is a state-led initiative. Those are some of the myths and facts that I try to present, along with the follow-up to what Sherry has talked about in the pros and cons. And just kind of in summarizing or in closing, I would hope that certainly there'd be a continued discussion about it here in Nebraska. It's kind of I know there's only four states, I believe, as of today, that haven't adopted the Common Core, and I hope I can tell you what they are. I think they're Nebraska, certainly one. I believe Virginia, and I believe it might be Texas, and we don't know what's going to happen down in Arizona. And there's a couple of other states that might be waffling a little bit, even though they once endorsed them. But here again, that's mostly due to the political arena that's happened in this country, and it's so politicized right now on so many topics. If the stakeholders are knowledgeable of what the Common Core are, and I think that would be more openness to their acceptance. And from my perspective of a retired person, I've been out a few years from the high school perspective and an education from 37 years, I think that the Common Core standards have a great deal of merit. And if not too late, I hope Nebraska will take another look at the Common Core standards. Thank you very much.
Thank you both. I have a few questions questions here. To what extent are standards used in the Common Core standards are used in other countries? Do they have a Common Core?
Is that a question to me as well?
Both of you, either one of you.
I can't speak to what other countries are doing in the Common Core area. The Common Core, the thing I would add, though, is that the Common Core, with being internationally benchmarked, and as I mentioned, the higher countries are that the high rigor of the top performing countries have had input into the development of our Common Core standards.
I can add, and again, it's been a while since I've studied international education, but in many countries, for example, France, the curriculum is very much dictated. In fact, a French school in Singapore or in New York has to be teaching the exact same lesson as a French school in France on the same day. So it's very tight and very structured. I know in Singapore, what they needed to teach, their standards, their curriculum was very tight, etc. So the fact that every state in our nation is doing something a little bit different was always something that they would ask me about. Well, they said, how do you know everybody's holding the students to high standards? I said, I really don't know that. So, they probably are, but I don't know that.
Yeah. Why hasn't Nebraska adopted the Common Core?
That's a question I'd like to ask of everyone. And I guess, being retired, I can say about anything I want to, right? I don't know. Saddened might be too strong, but I'm not sure I know the answer, except I speculate it's probably a political issue. And I don't want to sound too harsh or too critical. It's kind of like I said in the closing, I hope that perhaps, even though I can't tell you exactly where they are right now, but I'm hoping that I think when the facts are clearer, and I think the people involved in the Common Core overall has probably not done a good job, like so many things that we do in this country. And I don't know if people have taken the time to really study what it is. And that was our attempt today to try to separate fact from myth, if you will, and to tell you more of what it is. I believe from my own experience is that if people learn more about it, they'll be more understanding of it and not quick to criticize if they don't know what it really is. I guess I'm an optimist to think that maybe that may turn around, but everybody in this room knows more about where that is in Nebraska than I, so I should turn it over to someone else, or maybe you don't want to answer, or maybe...
From what I've seen, and I've been in Nebraska for 9 years, Nebraska is very proud of its educational system, and it should be. I mean, it's an excellent educational system. And Nebraska is used to holding high standards for its school districts and for its students. And so this is like saying, well, your system, the way you're doing it, isn't necessarily as good as it could be. And so now we're giving you these new standards, and that's how I see it. But what I see is Nebraska is doing now is that they're aligning their standards to Common Core. So like when a curriculum coordinator does need resources, we can go out and find them. The textbooks that we're looking at that are designed for Common Core states are aligning very well with Nebraska standards. So I think they don't see the need to adopt the national standards. My concern, things that curriculum coordinators are always making sure of, is that our students will come out prepared and that the state really does make them similar.
Maybe we'll do it and just call it something else.
Well, that's what I was going to add. Sherry, it sounds as if you're already applying the Common Core standards.
Well, when we first came out with the Common Core, when I first moved here, we were with STARS assessments, and so we were all doing our own assessments, which had many strengths, like I said. However, it was a change when we had to go to the No Child Left Behind state assessment, and our teachers felt like they were caught behind the eight ball. They had like 4 years maybe to get to 100%, where other states had had a lot more years with a whole new assessment. And so they didn't want to be caught that way. I didn't want to put them in that situation or our students. So as soon as Common Core was mentioned, we started talking about it, looking at it, comparing to what we did with the Common Core, and making tweaks ever since then. And I've had professional development around Common Core. I've had assessment workshops around Common Core. So our teachers are very familiar with it, and I don't think they're against it.
Is there an official position that the teachers' unions take on Common Core?
From the reading I've done, Hugh, and preparing for today, Common Core is endorsed by the NEA, the National Education Association, the AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, almost all of the organizations that I'm aware of, the professional organizations, they adopt these standards, and they think that's the right direction to move for several reasons, of which I've tried to share this morning, but consistency for one. It shouldn't be that when a student moves from one school to another school, or even a state from another state, that it's so like going to a foreign country. There should be some similar, it would seem to me that some common, consistent standards that we should all try to teach kids to achieve would make sense. It doesn't mean that we're all exactly the same. Remember, it's up to the teacher how they get to that point, how they shoot for those standards. And we're not taking that away from teachers, but it seems to me there ought to be some common standards. And that also helps us with accountability, as I mentioned, to compare countries from around the world.
I have one more point I just thought of. I'm going to put on my college professor hat for a while instead of curriculum coordinator. When you're teaching at a college and you're teaching teacher preparation courses, and they're out in their field placements and they're out in their student teaching, it is practically impossible to get them prepared with even one state or one area for all of the different curriculums that were going on in the different districts and the different areas. If we had, I'm guessing at the college level right now, they would be very excited in a math or language arts course to know that we had these common standards, because then they know that if they teach this, their students are going to come out prepared to be in whatever district. So I think that's another thing to consider.
Excuse me. Can you analyze concepts of Common Core versus the No Child Left Behind? And I'd add something else, too. Is the Common Core as punitive with schools that fail as the No Child Left Behind?
You want to take the first part, and I'll take the second part? Okay, sure. I'll just say the second part, particularly as it is, one of the criticisms of it is it's too punitive in the sense that more of an expense point of view is most of my reading has been. Schools invest in staff development or professional development just like people from the business world do in R&D and et cetera, et cetera. And so you're going to have staff development regardless of whether you have Common Core or you have other programs or present programs. It would focus the staff development piece to that to more of the instructional standards that are in place. So once that got institutionalized or codified in a sense, although I guess Nebraska's not doing it, but if it, a state hypothetically was involved in it, I would think that that would focus everything to a more meaningful or worthwhile approach. In time, they believe, the people involved in this, much more than I, will tell you that it should reduce the testing expense because it can become computerized results, and it can save money in the long haul if you will accept that. I'm not sure I'm answering the total part of that question. I apologize if I missed some of that, Hugh. Go ahead. Correct me or tell me I didn't.
And I, maybe just because I've been looking at it from the curriculum point of view, I haven't read anything where it's going to be tied to a certain pass rate. No Child Left Behind did that. We have to be at 100% right now. Which is great to shoot for, but practically impossible. I haven't read anything like that. I've just read that if you do this, that you get the money for the funding. And I've heard comments, curriculum coordinators have said, well, when we all take that test, we're all not going to do very well on it because our students aren't going to know what's going on. And that's not from Nebraska educators. I follow SBAC and PARC, those two blogs and stuff about that. But everybody, I think, is going to be really low at the same time and then slowly build up. So I think there are two different kinds of things.
There's been widespread criticism of Common Core that the math standards are too difficult for the average student in elementary school. How valid is this?
Well, I'm doing some national assessment of educational progress testing California and Arizona, and I looked at some of the booklets of the tests, and that's not based on Common Core yet, and I thought they were pretty difficult for me currently. So I don't know how to really answer that, Hugh, other than say that to someone that was educated many, many years ago, I think a lot of things would look more rigorous than we remember as students. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's a great question, though, for further discussion. But I have faith in the process of how this was developed. If you think back to the whole process, remember I said state-led. It had teachers at every point of the development of these standards, teachers that are experts in the field. It had curriculum experts. In fact, if you look into this further, it had the endorsement of the state governors, of all the governors, the governor organization of the United States. They were all involved in this process of the development of Common Core.
What I feel is it is more rigorous, but our kids can do it. All of our students can do it. Just like I give with the writing example. A few years back, 5 or 6 years back, we adopted a new K through two math program. It was really hard. The teachers were having a hard time with it. The students were doing well with it, but our MAP scores, NWA MAP scores, went up in K through two because of that program. So I think we sometimes question, we lower the expectations for our students. They can do a lot more. What Common Core does is it targets on certain kinds of things, and it makes sure certain big ideas are at every single grade level. So yeah, reasoning mathematically and developing mathematical models might be hard if you've never had it before and you're trying it for the first time in third grade, and it will be hard. Well, we do it, but anyway, it could be hard if you hadn't been doing it. However, if you start it in kindergarten and you move it up, then they're going to get used to thinking like that, and they're going to have no problems with it all the way up. So, but as a coordinator, I'm going to have to be aware of that. I'm going to have to monitor what our kids know and they're able to do, and we're going to have to make some adjustments if our students are having troubles with that.
That's a good point. It's sequential in the development of a hierarchy, if you will, of challenge and rigor as it goes up through the grades. And so what appears so rigorous at the first may, after these students get this baseline of knowledge and information and skill set, they adapt quite easily, or not easily, but they adapt quite well to high rigor.
Sorry, one more thing. Our math teachers are looking at math programs right now, our teachers are, and
I have not heard from any of our K through 4 teachers that any of the programs we're looking at are too hard for kids. So, and again, we've been working on Common Core for a while, or those kinds of ideas, but I have not heard that.
Why doesn't the Common Core set standards for disciplines other than reading and math? And one particular example comes to my mind, foreign languages. Seems to me, and I've had 5 kids, and they started becoming interested in kindergarten, first grade. Does Common Core deal with foreign languages? They should be starting early with foreign languages.
Go ahead. I don't think either one of us wants to answer that. I'm not sure I know what to say other than they took those two subject areas first, and I don't know if down the road that the others are coming, but I noticed as kind of a clever, cute thing and almost that when one of the cons, I didn't share all the cons, one of them was why aren't there standards in social studies and science, for example? And I kind of thought about that a little bit. I don't know if they were critical that of Common Core because there wasn't enough Common Core in other subjects, or then they're anxiously waiting for 2 more to be critical of, or what. But it was kind of listed under a con. It's kind of confusing, but it just kind of caught my eye as almost a little bit humorous. But I can't answer why they haven't approached that yet, Hugh. So
I can't answer why they haven't either, but I can tell you that most subjects, including foreign language, are going to be impacted by this because foreign language has, I mean, our foreign language teachers just wrote a curriculum and they looked at Common Core too, and they're having them discuss and debate and argue and do all of those kinds of things. So they are being impacted by it. Math shows up in science, et cetera. I think it's just a starting point, mm-hmm. you know, and those two subjects impact lots of other different kinds of things.
We have time for one more. And so I'm going to lay it on you, John. Politics. Does acceptance or rejection of Common Core generally follow political ideologies with liberals in support, conservatives opposed? This would seem to be debatable, since people like Governor Jeb Bush, former Education Secretary William Bennett, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce are in favor of it as an initiative that will raise academic standards, while authors like Maya Angelou, Judy Blume, and Jules Feiffer, who are liberally oriented, have publicly opposed it. That is, as far as I know, with all of those individuals, have publicly opposed it primarily because of the increased use of standardized testing. So is this a liberal versus conservative issue, or are people emphasizing different aspects of the Common Core?
Would you repeat that question? No. I just think that generically, it has become the left versus the right, but not in its totality because of the examples you just shared. So it seems to me the more time that it's been discussed, it's not bridging the gap, but it's there are, like Jeb Bush would be a classic example. He's strongly for the Common Core. And at the same time he's been criticized from a facet that is against that because I think of that first thing I said was how they see it as a federal government versus local state control. And I'm getting away from your question a little bit, but that's where my optimism comes into play is that I think as people, all people, know more about it and can separate facts from myths, then I think that it'll bring more people together. I just think the misunderstandings are so powerful that it makes us, I'll just share a personal note. It might not get quite to it, but I was with some friends sitting down in this 80-degree temperature outside just 2 days ago, and I said, I'm heading back to Omaha. I can't play tennis on that particular day. And they said, what I'm doing? I said, well, I'm going to talk to the Omaha Press Club about Common Core. And somebody said immediately, he said, oh, yeah, Common Core. And I said, I could tell nonverbally or, you know, his intonation was against it. And I said, what do you know about Common Core? And I wasn't being a smart aleck, of which I can be quite often. But he said, because the other two people, I can just tell you where they were all sitting. The other two people were listening and knew a little bit about it, I think. And I asked the gentleman, he was from New York, I think, but I said, what do you know about it? And he absolutely knew nothing about it. But here again, it's an example of what we hear, on the media. And I know there's people from the media, and I don't mean to fault all the media, but it's just what people hear. They hear little snippets of things and form an opinion. That might be the strongest reason to have Common Core in our schools, because there are standards on critical thinking and standards on analyzing real situations, both sides of an issue. Well, that's going to get me going, so I'll back off.
I want to say, why is having a common assessment a negative? I mean, we have to make sure that it's assessing what we want kids to really know and be able to do. But why is it a negative? When I was in South Carolina, the PACT test, it was rated as one of the best written, highest and rigorous assessments in the No Child Left Behind arena. But the state scores were looking bad because kids weren't doing as well on it as some of the other states. Well, everybody was playing on a different playing field. One state might have had an easier test. I've never verified this, but I've heard of states that went back, redid their tests so that they would be easier, so more kids could pass, so that their scores would look higher. So this takes all that possibility away. If you have a common assessment that people are using, that really helps. I mean, we do it in the school districts. We do it in the classrooms. So we can know that one school is comparable to another school. Why couldn't we do it across the states?
We're about out of time. I do want to criticize the news media a little bit. I don't think there's been enough news coverage at all of this. I called a woman last night who's been teaching for 45 years. I invited her to come up here. She had never heard of it. She didn't know what I was talking about when I said Common Core. She'd been teaching for 45 years. So I think this issue is hugely important. It's a national and beyond issue. It deserves more coverage. And with that, I want to thank the two panelists, and especially John coming up from Arizona just to do this. So thank you both. And
you've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. Today's speakers were John Crook, retired principal of Westside High School and currently with the National Assessment of Educational Progress, and Cherry Larson, Director of Instructional Services at the Plattsmouth Community School District. They discussed the topic Common Core, the Pros and Cons. Both of today's speakers are advocates of the Common Core State Standards Initiative. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, February 19, 2015, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be Thursday, March 26th at 12 noon. At that time, the guest speakers will be Jeremy Lipschultz, Isaacson Professor at the University of Nebraska at Omaha, and author of Social Media Communication, Concepts, Practices, Data, Law, and Ethics, and Michael Sevier, host of the Omaha World Herald's Bottom Line talk show. They'll discuss the topic social media. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 402-345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 400 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.